Amen. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, young ladies. You did a wonderful job. Beautiful songs. What a joy to see a family serving the Lord with each other, and to see the preacher's family singing and just serving, being here with each other. We were here for the last few days to spend a little bit of time with designated time with some of the families. Some of you were able to come for that, and what a treat. So thank you. I love your church. We a lot of similarities between your church and our church. I love to see some of you that just came to the altar. You know, I come to church for God to move in our heart. And when God moves, I don't want to be a preacher that gets in the way of it. And so when God begins to move, I just want to allow Him to do so. And God will use good music. We talked about it yesterday with Saul and how that David played the harp and that evil spirit departed from Saul because of good music. And my heart has been stirred because of all of your good music, and I am thankful for it. So thank you, preacher. Those of you that are visiting, please would you come back next Sunday. We want you to do so. I love this preacher, and many times when a visitor shows up, they want to get a little bit of an idea of what the church is like and what the preacher is like. So you're getting an idea of what the church is like, but I want you also to hear this dear preacher. So please come back next week, and we want you to do so. You have a little bit of an idea. I love the fact that this preacher is a servant. I've heard his testimony through the years that mom and daddy both are deaf. And so I haven't officially met mom and dad. I see him down here, and we're thankful for them. I saw dad come in, and he was waving at the preacher. I told my wife, I said, look, Brother Dignan's trying to get a hold of preacher. He was leaning over and wanting to make sure he got his attention. Those of you that sign language, there are some advantages. You can, in a quiet way, tell somebody to behave. However, I don't know what the signs are, but you can tell them. And sometimes I'm sitting by my family, they're all too ornery. If we're at a meeting somewhere, at a conference or something, we're all sitting together. My family likes to have fun, and I don't know how many times I'm leaning up at them and looking at them, and my sign language is I'll snap my finger and I'll point to the front. And that is, by the way, my children are married adult people, so that you know. So that, yeah, that's to my married adult kids. I'm saying, pay attention. So I know that sign language. You pay attention to the preacher. And so I'm honored to be here today. Matthew chapter 7. And I could have listened to that preaching all day long. Preaching. I'm sorry, that singing. My preaching will not be all day long, I promise. But I enjoyed that singing. Preacher, are you all good Baptist? You try to get out by noon? Now you get out sooner? Whenever. Look, if I preach for an hour and a half, y'all are going to be mad at the preacher that he said that to me. And I love your singing. There are times that I'll have our choir or somebody that sings a special. I'll just say, y'all do that again. I just love it. And so thank you for all of the singing. I've enjoyed it. I am not long-winded. And so we'll be just a little bit here now. And I hope God will use the message to speak to your heart. Matthew chapter 7, and we will begin in verse 13. And before we do, let's pray with each other. Lord, thank you for the morning. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful spirit. I love these dear people. I love this preacher. I've loved him for years. And now to get to meet the family and then the church. And so I love this place. Heard so much good about it. And so I know that now that we come to this portion of the service, where the message, such a sacred time. So I pray that you will guide my words. I pray that everything you would want to be said will be said, and that it will be pleasing to you. It will be profitable and helpful. We ask you to move, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The Bible talks about many different portions of water. The Bible talks about a water that we would never thirst. Jesus talked about drinking of the well that would never run dry. The Bible talks about the pure river of the water of life. The Bible says that God would give water to him that is thirsty. The Bible refers to lakes and fountains and streams and brooks and rivers. And so this morning, as we talk about a body of water, I want you to use your imagination just a little bit. I want you to use your imagination as I tell a little story about how that we are all born into this river of life. But as we're born into this river of life, the bad thing about being born into this river of life is that we are born floating and drifting in the wrong direction. Just as the Mississippi empties itself into the Gulf of Mexico, the river of life empties itself into a place called the Lake of Fire. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, the Bible says, shall have their part which burneth in the Lake of Fire, which is, the Bible says, the second death. The only way that we can escape falling into that Lake of Fire, as the lady so sang about so well, and that would be if we take advantage of the grace of God that He has given to us. God has given to us in this river that we are all born into. God has given us three log jams of grace that I want to talk about this morning that can keep you from going to that place called hell. I know that on a Sunday morning, I like to preach messages are you can make it and God is for you and you're good people but yet we have to deal sometimes with the reality that there is a heaven. By the way, heaven is real, and so that you understand that hell is real also. And so we're born into this river and we're born drifting in the wrong direction. And one day we will land in that lake of fire if we do not take advantage of the log jams of grace. I'm an outdoorsman. I love the outdoors. Brother Coons and y'all's house that we went to just across the way. I think that's wonderful to have families living close to each other. I just think it's grace. We were great. We were talking about deer. I said, man, I bet y'all have some deer out here. I can be traveling 70 miles an hour down the interstate and see a deer, in the woods and on the sides of the road. I'm an outdoorsman. I love the stories of outdoorsmen. The stories of the outdoors. And the eagle. The eagle is a very interesting animal. The eagle can fly at 3 miles in the sky. Flying at 3 miles in the sky, the eagle also can see a rat from 3 miles high on the ground. They can look directly into the sun. Sometimes they use that as their defense, as they can fly into the sun. There aren't many predators for the eagle, but the eagle can use that as a defense to fly into the sun. And God has made the eye of the eagle in such a way that protects them from the harmful rays as they were to look or fly into the sun. The eagle has a wingspan of 6 feet long. The eagle, because it can see a rat at 3 miles high, can dive at 200 miles an hour. That's pretty quick. And if you got to get down to the ground that quickly, to get a rat, you have to do it quickly. And so 200 miles an hour. Now, you let a sparrow try that, and the sparrow would be naked before it got to the ground. Amen. But God made the eagle and gave it such good characteristics so it could do those kind of things. There's a story about an eagle, a true story, that in the spring of the year, the floods had come, the rains had come and created some floods, and a small fawn had died because of the floods, and it was stuck in some debris. A conservation officer told the story and wrote the story, and he told the story about the eagle that he noticed was feasting on a fawn that was on the debris in the river, and the water was flowing at a fast pace because of all of the floods. And so he began to watch the eagle feast off of the fawn. As he watched, he noticed that because of the current, that some of the debris cut loose and the fawn and the eagle began to drift down the stream. And as it began to drift down the stream, the conservation officer knew that a short way down the stream was a waterfall, and he knew that the eagle needed to turn loose of the fawn. And so he began to follow the fawn as if the eagle and the fawn as they floated closer to the waterfall. And he started yelling at the eagle to turn loose. Turn loose! Turn loose! And the eagle was not paying attention or not responding to the warnings of the conservation officer. He began to get stones and began to throw it at the eagle, hoping that he would scare the eagle off of the fawn for the safety of the eagle. But he watched as the eagle and the fawn went over the waterfall, and the eagle plunged to its death that day. The conservation officer then began to try to figure out how come the eagle would not let go of the fawn. The only thing that he could figure is that the talons in the eagle, as it had locked itself on the flesh of the fawn. You see, an eagle's talons would lock, and as it pulls, the grip would actually get tighter. And the only way for the eagle to let loose of something that it is holding is to push against the palm of its foot and of its claws, and to be able to release his talons from whatever he is carrying. And so he found out and concluded that the problem that the eagle had was because of the weight of the fawn and the eagle, that when the eagle would begin to press down on the fawn to try to let loose of his talons, that he could not get enough pressure to release his talons, and thus he plunged to his death. The eagle's appetite for food at that point was greater than his instinct of survival. You see, let me give that statement to you again. His appetite for food was greater than his instinct of survival. The eagle plunged to his death because of conflicting instincts. Conflicting instincts. And the truth is, the eagle plunged to his death only by doing what became natural for him to do. Sometimes we say, Pastor Lovins or Pastor Dignan, God wouldn't send anybody to hell, and you're right about that. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son. I love verse 17. We don't often quote it because of the familiarity of verse 16. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But the truth is, if you die and go to hell, you'll go to hell by doing what comes natural for you to do. You see, we're born into this river of life, as I've already mentioned, drifting in the wrong direction. I want to talk to you this morning and preach the title of the message, The Drifter Who Climbed to Hell. It sounds like a paradox. The drifter who climbed to hell. We're drifting in this river of life. And the truth is, God has made a way to help you keep from going to that place called hell. But it's your choice. And the truth is, if you want to go to hell, you can. You can go to hell. But God doesn't want you to go to hell. So God has given these three log jams to keep you from going to that lake of fire. What are these log jams of grace that God has given? First of all, the log jam of grace that God has given is the compassion of other people. The compassion of other people. You can go to hell if you want to. But if you do go to hell, it may be over the logjam of the love that somebody has for you. The truth is, you may be sitting in this church service this morning because somebody had enough love and compassion and concern for you that they invited you to church this morning with the hopes, maybe even that the preacher, and maybe you anticipate, I know the preacher's been preaching that I would be here today, been announcing that, but maybe you came this morning with the hopes that whether Preacher Dignan or this guest speaker that you might have might preach a message that would be the exact message that your visitor needed this morning. And I don't know all of you. I don't know who all of the visitors are. The truth is, that we may have somebody sitting here this morning that you were born, as preacher said, not literally in this church at the hospital, but you've been in this church all the days of your life. And the truth is, you know this morning that you're lost and you're on your way to hell, and you can go to hell if you want to. But if you go to hell, you're going to go to hell over the love of a mom and daddy, over the love of a brother or a sister, over the love of a preacher, over the love of somebody that had enough love and concern to pray for you and to invite you to come to church so that you would hear the message of the grace of God so that you didn't have to go to hell. I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm thankful for that. I got saved on December the 6th, 1972. And I praise the Lord that I have that time that I can go back to. I'm a bus kid. Do we have any bus kids in here this morning? Any of y'all, I say bus kids. How many of y'all were saved and reached through the bus ministry? Would you raise your hand, some of you? I'm a bus kid. God bless you. I'm glad to see that. I'm a bus kid. I love bus kids. They're ornery as can be, but I love bus kids. And so, when I was 15 years old, I was a long-haired hippie. The more I tell the story, the longer my hair got. My wife and I were talking about it the other day. And the fact that I'm 60-something years old now, my hair was dragging the floor. I mean, I was a big, long-haired hippie. The truth is, my hair wasn't as long sometimes as I probably insinuated that it was, and we talked about that, but that's my age group, that hippie era, those latter 60s and early 70s. Boy, I had the world by the tail, just lived life, and everything was good. My sister Brenda, some of you know my sister, and Brenda married Brother Chris Teft. And so some of you know the Tefts. And so that's my sister. By the way, Chris is as crazy as can be. And he's as crazy in private as he is in public. I mean, family times with Chris, there are no dull times around Chris Taft. I mean, we just love him to death. But my sister went to church and got saved. Rode the bus. And my sister wanted us all to go to church for her 12th birthday. My mom and daddy said, Brenda Shirley, I mean, there's something else we can get you for your birthday. And my sister said, no, I don't want anything for my birthday other than my whole family to be in church with me. My daddy said, Brenda, we want to buy you something for your birthday.
Come on, shoot.
Brenda said, no, I don't want anything other than all of you to be in church. My daddy said, all right, we'll go to church. Is that, if that's what you want, we'll go to church. I was a 15-year-old rebellious hippie boy. My dad said, we're going to church. And I said, I don't want to go to church. I mean, church is for weird people. I don't want to go to church. I have an old-fashioned home. I mean, my dad never heard of CPS, Child Protection Services. I mean, those things didn't exist back then. My daddy, when he said frog, we all jumped and asked how high when we're already in the air. I mean, that's the kind of family we had. I got whoopings when I was a kid. Probably some I didn't deserve and snuck out of some that I did deserve. So my daddy said, we're going to church. I said, I want to go to church. My dad said, you go to church, you find a new place to live because your sister wants us to go to a church for her birthday. So you either go to church or find a new place to live. It's a strange thing. I felt real led of God to go to church. Isn't it amazing how God works? And I knew 10 minutes. We all went to church because of the testimony of my sister. We all ended up getting saved. I have a mom and daddy in heaven this morning because of a little sister on her 12th birthday said, I just want my family in church. Oh, I could have gone to hell if I wanted to. But I'd have to crawl over that little log jam that my sister created in this river that we were all drifting in the wrong direction. And I could have been a drifter that climbed over that log jam and climbed my way to hell if I wanted to. But I'm glad I had a sister that loved me. Oh boy, I'd like to tell you so many stories. I love my sister. So many times I'll just call her, text her, and tell her thank you for loving us. I always look forward to an opportunity like this where I can come and just tell my testimony again and brag on the Lord and talk about my sister and how that she cared for us. And I want to ask you this morning, who is it that cared for you? Somebody has. You went to church because somebody cared for you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody invited you. Somebody put time and effort into you. And God said, I'm going to give you a logjam of the concern of others. And boy, I'm so glad God gave that to me. But if you want, you can climb over that log jam and you can continue to drift in that river of life that is drifting in the wrong direction. As you continue to drift, the current is going to get broader and wider and swifter. And then you're going to bump up against another log jam that God has given by His grace. And it's the log jam of the greatest preacher in the world. Now, I don't know who you think is the greatest preacher in the world. I've sure heard some good preachers in my life. Brother Hiles was one of my favorites. I know some of these guys can be controversial and But Brother Hiles was one of my favorites. My preacher, Brother Don Camp, was always one of my favorites. Lester Roloff was always one of my favorites. B.R. Lakin was always one of my favorites. He was so colorful. And I remember being in college, and I can tell I'm in a generation. Some of you are thinking, I don't even know who all of these guys are. And I'd travel in college to go hear B.R. Lakin a few times. And B.R. Lakin was just so colorful. And Brother Bussey, he was from West Virginia. And he had traveled the hills of West Virginia. I noticed you're wearing a West Virginia hat or a shirt or something the other day. Look, he had to look down right now. He thought he was wearing it right now even. Matter of fact, we came in here, Brother Bussey, and I said, you came to this church because of the blue and gold. That's why you came here. I think those are West Virginia colors, aren't they? Blue and gold, West Virginia colors. And so I love to hear these great preachers, some tremendous preachers I've heard through the years. Some of our people think I'm the greatest preacher in the world. I'm flattered that they think that. Some of you think your preacher is the greatest preacher in the world, and I think you should think that way. Obviously, Mom thinks he's the greatest preacher in the world. Mom thinks he's the greatest everything. Yeah, she's questioning it right now. She is. Oh, no, we're not talking about Nick. We're talking about Randy right now. Yeah. I love it. I don't know who you think is the greatest preacher in the world, but the truth is, all of those guys that I just mentioned, none of those are the, although great preachers, they're not the greatest preachers in the world. I'm going to tell you who's the greatest preacher in the world. The Holy Spirit of God. You can climb over that logjam of the compassion of other people, and you can climb over the logjam of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. When we all started getting saved because of my sister's testimony, my sister got saved and then I got saved. And boy, I remember I went back to church the next week to get baptized. My hair was so long that Brother Camp said, young man, why have you come? And I said, well, I came to get baptized. And he said, well, he said, your hair is so long. He said, I'd like to ask for you to get your hair cut. And if you get your hair cut and look like a man, come back next week, we'll baptize you. Now, we'll baptize you. If you got hair down to your waist, we'll baptize you. I'm not saying my preacher was right by that, but God used it. And he said, if we showed you in the Bible, and this is in front, well, I'm standing down front, and he's saying to the whole church, he said, if we could show you in the Bible that's a shame for a man to have long hair, would you get your hair cut and come back next week and get baptized? I said, sure. So I did. Went back and got my hair cut. But my hair was my glory. It was cute. And so I wanted to get my hair cut, so I thought I'd try to fake the preacher out. And I got enough cut off to where it would still cover my ears. But I thought if I get enough cut off, I can put it behind my ears when I go forward to get baptized, and everything will be okay. Oh, man. So Mom and Dad went the first week to see me get baptized, and then the preacher wouldn't baptize me. And so then the next week, I get my hair cut. I'm going back to get baptized. I want Mom and Daddy to go back and watch me get baptized. Dad said, I'm not going. I said, why not? You didn't get a man's haircut. That's not the kind of haircut that the preacher was talking about. He wants your hair to be off of your ears. Oh, my mom, she is a fiery mother. And, oh man, they got in a fight with each other. Mom, you know, they're not talking. It's probably best for my mom and dad not to talk, actually, during those times. And so, I mean, words that, wow. And so, Dad's not going. But I'm all upset now. The preacher's not going to baptize me. The sister's upset. Her brother just got saved, but now he can't get baptized because his hair's not the right length. And so mom's going to go to church. Dad's not going to go to church. So we all went to church together. And I'm scared to death. Sitting there, invitation given, people down front waiting. We hadn't even gone forward yet, and the instruments have stopped. I finally looked at Mom and I said, "Mom, I'm going to get baptized. Would you go down with me?" I didn't have any compassion for my mother. I wasn't thinking about my mom getting saved, to be honest with you. I just wanted my mom to be with me so that if that preacher said he wasn't going to baptize me, that my mom would slap him and get him back in order. So that's all. That's the only reason why I wanted my mom to go with me. So she did. She walked down the aisle.
Come on.
And that preacher said, "Young man, you came to get baptized, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "Now, your hair's not as short as I want it to be." And I'm thinking, "Oh, no, Mom, get ready. Here's your chance." And he says, "Your hair's not as short as I want you to be. I'm going to ask you to get another haircut." And he said, "But," he said, "I can tell that you're trying." And he said, "So we're going to baptize you this morning." And we left for the bus and we went to a side door like this and got ready to get baptized. And I heard my preacher say to my mom, "Ma'am, why have you come?" "Well, she came to be with me so she'd keep you in order." I mean, I could have answered that for him. But I heard my mom say, "I want to get saved."
Amen.
So the day I got baptized, my mom had got saved. I got to shorten this down. I could tell. I love telling my testimony. Next week, of course, we went home. You know how that goes. Mom walks in the door. She was saved now, but she still had a flesh. And so, she jumped all over Dad. "They baptized him, and you weren't even there to see it." My mom smoked, I don't know how many cigarettes a day. She was a chain smoker. Cussed like crazy. I mean, I had a cussing family. And so, cuss like crazy and fight. And so the next week, Mom's going to get baptized. She said, "Jack, we want you to go see me get baptized." And so we're all in church together. Mom looks at Dad in the middle of the invitation and says, "Jack, why don't you go with me?" Because you see, Mom had quit smoking, at least working on it. She just felt like if you were a child of God, you shouldn't be smoking. I don't know if that affects anybody here, but that's free, by the way. So my mom, she said, "I need to quit smoking. Christians shouldn't be smoking." I went and got my hair cut again. I looked like Spock on Star Trek, I said. My ears hadn't seen the sunlight a day for I don't know how long. And I had one eyebrow that went right straight across the front of my head. I didn't know that you're supposed to shave or pluck all of that in the middle. I mean, I had one straight eyebrow right straight across. And so when I got a haircut and all of my one eyebrow was showing, my white ears were showing, man, I looked terrible. At least I thought I did. But my dad thought I looked great. And he didn't know nothing, but at least he thought I did. So we went forward, and I was sitting in the service. And I watched my mom and daddy go forward, and the preacher said, "Ma'am, why have you come?" And she said, "I came to get baptized." Took my mom off to get her baptized and looked at my dad and said, "Sir, why have you come?" And he said, "Preacher," he said, "if it'll make my daughter want us to come to church for her 12th birthday, if it'll make my son cut his hair and look like a man, and if it'll make my wife quit smoking cigarettes," he said, "I need the same God that my family has." And the day my mom got baptized, my daddy got saved. And they put Dad in the baptistry right then and baptized Mom and Daddy together, baptized Dad and then baptized Mom. And when Mom came up out of the water, Mom and Daddy fell in each other's arms and kissed each other in a baptistry, preacher. I hadn't been in church much, but I'm thinking, good night, it's only my second week here. My mom and dad are making out in a baptistry. I can't believe this. This is terrible. Crazy. We all begin to tell our stories. I didn't know that my mom had the fear of going to sleep at night because she was afraid that she would die in the middle of the night and go to hell. We didn't know until later on that my dad's not a crier. Now I am. And I hear your preacher is. And so, I didn't know, but until later on, after we began to tell each other's testimonies, we lived 11 and a half miles from the church. And when Dad went to church for my sister's birthday for the first time, Dad had to stop the car on the way home and pull over to the side and weep. Because the Holy Spirit of God had smote his heart. And my dad knew that he should have gotten saved and he didn't. And he pulled off to the side of the road because he was weeping so much, knowing that he needed to get saved and afraid to drive because he couldn't see through the tears. And the truth is, you can turn this preacher off. You can turn that preacher off. You can turn the radio preacher off or the internet preacher off and you can try to silence them. But there's one preacher that'll keep convicting you, and you may go to sleep at night and lay your head on your pillow and the Holy Spirit of God will say to you, you know that preacher was right. You know if you die, you're going to go to hell. And the greatest preacher in the world is the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And preacher, I'm sorry, I'm taking a little longer than I should. But you can climb over the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God if you want. Now, the river has gotten wider and obviously so much swifter. And you can almost hear the seagulls of hell screaming out now as you get closer to dropping over that waterfall into that river that plunges to hell, and you're getting closer and closer. And then there's a third log jam that you're going to bump up against. And this is the biggest log jam of any of them now. It's a log jam of the cross of Jesus Christ. I want you to use your imagination with me just a little bit. But imagine as you're drifting down this river. That's why I titled it The Drifter Who Climbed to Hell. You can climb over the compassion of somebody else. You can climb over the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. But if you climb over, by the way, you got to be careful climbing over the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you say no one too many times to the Holy Spirit of God, He may leave you alone. And if there's a peace that comes over you, I remember my preacher used to always say, he'd thunder out, he said, if you say no to the Holy Spirit of God one too many times, and then a peace comes over you, he said, it's not the peace of God, but that is the peace that is a human nature peace, and you have that peace because the Holy Spirit of God has quit convicting you, and if the Holy Spirit of God quits convicting you, I remember my preacher, he would thunder out, and he would say, you are as lost as if you were in hell already. You can't even get saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. So you climb over it, but that's a dangerous one to climb over. And if you go to hell, you're going to have to climb over what Jesus did on the cross with you. Now in our imagination, as you bump up against that log jam, I want you to imagine as you're floating down that river, drifting in the wrong direction, you drift up on a shore. As you begin to stumble on that shore because of this river you've been drifting in and the currents and all the things of life, and you begin to stumble up onto that shore, and you notice up on the shore there's a rock and there's a cleft in that rock. And you notice there's an old man there. And you go and you speak to the old man and it startles you. And you say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. What is your name?" And he said, "Oh, my name is Father Time." You say, "Oh, Father Time." I'm drifting down this river. And he said, I noticed there's a lot of footprints and all up here on this shore. And you say, "I just want to ask you, how many people in life come by this way?" And he said, "Oh, everybody comes by here. Everybody comes by here." And your curiosity, you say, "Well, what happens to all the people that came by here?" He said, "Some have come by here." And he said, "I've watched them fall over the waterfalls, screaming as they went over the waterfalls. And I've listened to many of them go over the waterfalls and they were screaming, 'Lost! Lost! Lost!'" You say, "But Father Time, I noticed there's another set of footprints just head a little bit of a different direction. Where are those footprints going?" He said, "Come here, let me show you." He said, "Over here is a cross." And he said, "There are many that have come by this way and they've heard about the story of a man that died on that cross and died for them and shed his blood for them so that they wouldn't have to go over that waterfall into that lake of fire." And you say, "Well, Father Time, those people that went to that cross, where are they? Did they go over the waterfall?" And Father Time says, "Oh no, they didn't go over the waterfall. Those people went to the foot of the cross. And the last time I saw them, they're an old ship called Zion. They got back on that ship and they were going back up river again. And they all were singing 'Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.'" And let me say to you, friend, if you go to hell, you're going to have to climb over the biggest grace, a logjam of grace that God has given. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. I beg you this morning, whatever brought you here, if you do not have it settled that you're on your way to heaven, would you evaluate your life? What have you climbed over to keep drifting in the wrong direction? Have you climbed over the compassion of somebody that loves you? Have you climbed over the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Have you climbed over the cross of Jesus Christ? Why don't you do what my mom and daddy, what I did, what his sister did years ago? We made our way to an old-fashioned altar and said, "Lord, I need you." Don't be the drifter who climbed to hell. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
And praise, holy. It's only by the blood. for me. It's only by the blood that I can stand redeemed. All the riches in this world could never be enough to take away my sin. It's only by the blood. The temple they came, and the altars ran red, year after year after year. Yet for all of the lost and all the lies shared, still no true peace was near, till you came unto us as one person. Thorns in your head and the nails in your head, and it's only by the blood you poured out for me. It's only by the blood that I can stand redeemed. All the riches of this world could never be enough to take away my sin. It's only by the blood. And you've done what nothing and no one else can do. And the song of my soul is, more worthy are you. Thank you. day with me, I'm overwhelmed by His grace, that He would feel such love for me. To Him I would say me, and my heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His way. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. I'm overwhelmed that He would feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His way. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. Every I can see her laying there, everyone around just stared. They were gonna stone her, no one even cared. The law condemned the sin she had been called in. It was a rule they knew that Jesus wouldn't stand against. But when He knelt down, they didn't stand a chance. They stood amazed as He knelt down, and with His finger to the ground, He wrote a message of a different kind. As we're hanging all around, as their stones fell to the ground, her sin was clear, but fault He did not find. He wrote a message of grace across the sands of time. I can see Him standing there, a wooden cross and some rusty nails. It seemed that evil would at last prevail. Would angels come and rescue God's only Son? Would He heal Himself and just walk away? Not a price He should even have to pay. They stood amazed as He lay down, and with His stripes and thorny crown, He wrote a message of a different kind. As we're hanging all around, as His own blood poured to the ground, He had no sin, He died for yours and mine. He wrote a message of grace across the sands of time. They stood amazed as He lay down, and with His stripes and thorny crown, He wrote a message of a different kind. As we're hanging all around, His own blood poured to the ground. He had no sin, He died for yours and mine. He wrote a message of grace across the sands of time. A message of grace across the sands of time. I can see her laying there, everyone around just there.